Well, good morning, church, and thank you for joining me this morning. We're going to get right into our scripture today. Is James chapter 4, verses 1 to 10. It goes like this. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire, but you do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think Scripture says without reason that he jealously longs for the Spirit he has caused to dwell within us? But he gives us more grace. That is why Scripture says, God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up. Strife and struggles come from our own pride and selfish actions. The problem will always be looking back at us in the mirror because of our selfish desires. But when we ask God in faith and humility to walk us through our struggles, putting Him first, He will always bring us through and help us deal with our selfish desires. James poses a question to begin his discussion concerning pride and how it can cause strife and quarrels. He specifically asks where quarrels and fights begin in verse 1 and tells us that our desire for pleasure is what causes these conflicts. James is pointing out that it is our own self-centered mindset that causes these conflicts, whether it is with others or whether it is with God. Not only is our desire for pleasure a contrast to our desire for God's will, but it is filled with pointlessness. We may lust, we may covet and fight, but we do not obtain anything of value by these desires or compulsions, as verse 2 says. It says, you desire, but you do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. Not only can we find our inner self fighting against our members, but the inner desires we have can affect our community, causing dysfunction and confrontation amongst each other. I don't know if you've ever gone crab fishing, and crabs are fighters. They fight with you and they fight between each other. It's just nonstop, and they seem like they're just really angry all the time, pinching and clawing at you, but they sure do taste good. Back in the day when I went crab fishing, we would use all kinds of bait to catch crabs. We would use everything from raw chicken to tuna fish sandwiches, and a crab will go for anything to satisfy its own desires. Once the crab was caught in the cage, they would frantically want out, and as you would try to pull them out, they grabbed onto anything just to stop you from getting them. Once out of the cage, I would throw the crabs into a bucket, but the crabs still continually tried to get out of the bucket, crawling over top of each other, pulling each other down. It was an endless cycle. And as each crab was trying to just help themselves, they fought with all the other ones. Getting themselves out of the bucket is the thing they were individually fighting for, which is their only cause of desperation. In a similar way, the conflicts that James is speaking of in the church and in our lives are due to selfishness. We want what we want, and we will, in many cases, climb over others to get what we desire. These desires pull the whole community down instead of serving and lifting that community up. And when we go through life making decisions in our own way, without being led by the Holy Spirit, we find ourselves living in a cycle of pride and pointlessness. And we all know when self is at the wheel, that's when we get ourselves into trouble. This way of trying to get what you want and putting self first is the way that the world does it, going about its own lustful, sinful ways instead of asking in faith, as we see in verses 1 to 3. Matthew Henry says, a great commentary writer says, whoever therefore is a friend of the world is an enemy of God. And see, chapter 3 says, when you ask, you do not receive, because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend on what to get on your own pleasures. Our desire for worldly pleasures is what gets us in trouble and gets us in the way of God's journey for us. And so the conflict described in verse 1 comes from a pride of knowing you've got God and the Spirit of God in you, but instead of asking Him for direction, you become adulterers by compromising your commitment to God. In other words, you are cheating on God with the world. You're putting them first. This decision-making rooted in selfish desires and pride can put us at odds with God, and therefore the pride keeps us from asking God for direction. So because all of these selfish issues and conflict, James emphasizes his earlier point of double-mindedness in James chapter 1, verses 6 to 8. He says, but when you ask, you must believe and no doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. Now, keeping with the theme of pride in this chapter, we see the answer to the problem. Well, what is the answer? The answer is submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee, is in verse 7. Now, submitting to God comes first, and we do this by putting ourselves back in a place of humility. Resisting the devil or resisting selfish desires first may seem like a difficult thing to do, but if we continue to submit to God in everything we do, like waking up in the morning with God on your mind to start off the day, resisting Satan will be a natural product of that surrender. Resisting evil requires self-control, which is considered a fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, 22-23, and we discussed that a few Sundays ago. And we as Christians should strive toward a lifestyle that bears the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, which actually align all of our priorities and assist us in handling problems we face. I love how this final verse in our scripture today ends. Verse 10 sums it up by saying that we should humble ourselves before God and He will be the one to lift us up. Friends, if God is lifting us up, why do we need to walk and climb and stomp on top of others like a bucket full of crabs? The answer is we don't. We don't need to, because God is for me and He is for you. And so this is the time for us to show the others the love of Jesus Christ. John 13, verses 34 to 35, where Jesus says, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. You see, the message is pretty clear. If we love one another, and if we're not putting others before us and we're placing God first every morning, then loving others is going to be just a byproduct of putting God first. Because if we love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and our neighbor as ourselves, we're going to show everyone love. And people, others that don't know Him, will learn about Him because of the love that we show others. It's a simple concept, but the problem is putting it into practice. And so this week, I challenge you to take this thought. We've already been talking about having self-control. We've already talked about waking up in the morning and having God first on our thoughts so that He can direct our day. And within that, we show love to others. And then because of that love now, we are going to show the gospel because of the love that we're showing each other. Others will know us by how we love each other. The concept is simple, but in practicality, it may be difficult. And so each day you wake up, make a plan for that day that this is what you're going to do. You're going to love God, love your neighbor. You're going to reach out to others, and you're going to show the love of Jesus. We're going to put our pride aside. We're going to put our selfish wants aside. We're going to put all those things that we place in front of God and in front of others, we're going to put them aside, and we're going to put what He's asked us to put first, which is Him. That's the way to do it. That's going to be the only way to put this into practice. And so I challenge you this week to make that happen. I challenge you every day, do this, and it will make a difference in your lives and the people around you. Let me pray for you. Father, thank you for this day. Help us to put you first. And in doing so, we will love others, love our neighbors as ourselves, and that we will also show others your gospel, your message, because of the love that we are showing to each other. Help us to be a great example, especially in a time as this in our world where things are getting a little bit out of control. Help us to be the voice for you that cuts through all the noise. The truth of Jesus Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the love that we show will be louder than all the stuff that's happening around us. So help us to be just that, the example of Jesus in a world that needs Him so bad. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, God bless you. Thank you. Put this into practice, and let's see if we can change the world and make a difference in our circle of influence and in our community, and then eventually spread that out around the world. God bless you. Talk to you next week.